Welcome to the August edition of What You Said podcast. For the month of August, I will be sharing with you some of the exceptional people in my life who have helped shape the woman, mama, wife, daughter, friend, and CEO I am today. For those of you who are new, my name is Kaylee Elwell. I am the owner of Kaylee Elwell Designs. I am a small business experiential brand stylist and digital designer. I love that I get to work with local small businesses all over New England. I help them create the ultimate customer experience through defining their brand identity and digital strategy with a personal touch. Today on the podcast, you'll be able to get a peek at the other side of me with my very best friend. Aliza Marquette, as you will hear us say a few times, is my soulmate friend. She is the one person I go to when the sun is shining or it's pouring rain. She has taught me how to be more grounded, how to fight for what I deserve, and how to be unapologetically myself. She is a licensed professional counselor, first-time homeowner, wife, sister, daughter, dog mama, and my very best friend. Without further ado, Aliza Marquette. So I recently got a life coach. Well, actually, that's not true. I have a life coach now because she's someone that's going to come on my podcast, and she's really awesome. And she gave me this book. It's called Nugget. And I'm going to have her on in September, I believe. And we're doing like this whole book. It's a 28-day self-discovery.
Okay.
And each day has a journal.
That's a common book, to be honest.
I mean, there's really, I know she had somebody else do the graphics.
Okay. Is this her book?
They're really cool. Yep. So one of my journal prompts this week was, it's called Tag a Friend.
Uh-huh.
And she writes, "We all have that one friend who always appears to have it together. Remember, you might be that woman to someone else. We each have our own story and people perceive us differently than we do ourselves. So the challenge was, tag a friend on social media you admire and tell them what you admire most about them, then write down some reflections." Obviously, I wrote about you.
You're so sweet.
So I'm just going to, just to, you know, kick off your episode, I'm going to read parts of what I wrote.
Okay.
So I wrote, "My friend Aliza, she is my model behavior friend. She is the baby of three big brothers who all adore her and are all so sweet, funny, and cool, which makes her even sweeter, funnier, and cooler. She has a husband who is the most solid person I've ever met and who absolutely deeply adores her as well. And their wedding was the epitome of all weddings," which we will talk about. "She's always been very clear in what she wants to do, and she takes time to think everything out. She's always so much fun, and she's always my go-to person. She's the best person for me and for many other people to talk to when life has their ups and downs. And also, your relationship with your mom is just so special to me. I don't know why, but it is. And the fact that you were able to buy a house and everything that you accomplish, you're my idol. But everything that you do, I always look up to you." So
that's so sweet.
We've been friends. Oh my God. I don't even want to calculate it.
I was trying to figure this out this morning. I was like, so we knew each other, but when did we become like friends?
I know the exact moment.
You do?
Yes.
Oh my gosh, I feel so bad. I don't know this moment.
No, you will as soon as I say it.
Okay.
It's really embarrassing for me.
Give me the year.
High school. Well, first of all, preface. Freshman year, we were in every single class together.
Yes.
So that's when we were introduced to each other. But it was sophomore year.
Okay.
Yeah, had to be sophomore year. And I had a job at, I think I can say their name, but I had a job at Heritage Hotel.
Okay. Yes.
And I ran the coffee shop.
It was my brother. Damn it, always in his shadow.
So the whole story. So I ran a coffee shop. You and I started really talking. So naturally, being 16-year-old girls, 15-year-old girls, we talk about boys constantly.
Yes.
And just all the bad things that we did. So I said, there's this guy that always comes at the end of my shift.
I was mortified. Oh my God.
And he's so cute. And he has a mohawk. And I think he's a musician. And he always comes and I always give him free stuff. And he has these friends that like follow him around and I give them free stuff too. And then you started asking me questions about this person that I had like the biggest crush on. And the more I told you, the more I saw you like slide down the wall.
I was like, oh, it's my brother. How do I say this?
And you just start laughing. And I'm like, do you know, like, do you have a crush on this guy too?
Gross.
And you were like, Kaylee, that's my brother.
Oh my gosh, you're right. That was the moment.
That, and there was one other moment that just kind of sealed the deal, which is so ridiculous, but it just did it. So on Facebook, again, in high school, on Facebook, there's, like, this weird, silly thing where, like, you played a game. Like, one of those games where it's, like, tap here to figure out what you are. And it was, like, your soulmate is Kaylee. And it was me. And then from then on, we were just, like, obviously.
Obviously, your soulmates.
Yeah.
I remember it must have been junior year because I was friends with someone that I'm no longer friends with. And we were in yearbook.
Oh, yeah.
You were in yearbook, right?
I was the editor.
Yes. And I was so excited because I wasn't really involved in anything in high school. I'm like, yearbook, I can control how many times I'm in the pictures and all that. I can walk around with a camera and get food from that deli every day. And I was like, oh my God, this is the greatest thing. And then I think that's, I don't know, I was just like, oh, she's so cool. She's in photography and yearbook. Because I'm not very artistic at all. Like, you are the epitome of someone who's creative and artistic and knows how to capture all of that. I was just in it, honestly, for the food and to get my face in the yearbook.
I was so excited you were part of it because your brother picked you up every day.
He did. You're right. You're right.
And then there was one day where his now wife also came with him and my dreams were crushed. But that's okay.
That's okay. It's all right. Happy. He no longer has a mohawk, but it's okay.
It's, yeah. And then I moved on to his friend a couple years later, which ironically I figured out was one of his friends that came to get free stuff from me.
I'm not surprised by that. They were a tight little clan. They still are.
Yes, they are. But so we've been, yeah. And then from the time we became friends, like I feel like I lost contact with.
We've ebbed and flowed.
Yeah.
I feel like our friendship has paralleled our life a lot. Like when we have been needing to focus on ourselves and do things for ourselves, we've always known that we've been there for each other, but we haven't been in contact like all the time. I would say right now is probably the most contact we've ever been.
Even when we were in the same classes every day.
Yeah. But I think it's because that's where we're at with our life. We're both old married women now. Yeah. And you have a child. I don't yet. But you know, we have so many more things that we can chat about and it's more relatable now.
But also we always were able to respect like, okay, Aliza or Kaylee, like they're off doing their own thing right now. And I know that when the time is right, like we'll come back to each other.
Yes.
And there's been many times that time has been so timely.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't really know how else like to say that.
Like the perfect timing for us to reconnect.
Yes.
Is that what you like? It was
And even we weren't ever in the same spot. Mm-hmm. I fell apart so many times, or we both fell apart, and it was always in the same way.
Yeah.
And then we were like, oh, I had that same experience too.
Yeah.
Let's heal together. We worked at the same store.
We did. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We've gone on many road trips to Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
What else have we done? We've done some. I lived with you and your now husband for, I don't even, 6 months.
Yeah, probably 6 months.
Yeah. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about your husband just for a second and just your relationship. So your relationship, and I know I've already said it, but your relationship, can I say his name?
Sure.
Okay. Your relationship with Mike. First of all, I freaking called that shit.
You did. And remember also we went to New Jersey, Pennsylvania, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to
The tarot reader.
Yeah. And he said I was going to be like.
Oh, he called a cop too?
He did. Someone in a uniform. I mean, not that that can be so like an umbrella, but
Oh my God, I didn't know that.
That's something we've always been done together too. It's like psychics and tarot cards.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're really into that intuitive stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you had broken up with one of your boyfriends, and then I was like, it's okay, Elisa, because I really feel like a cop is coming for you.
Yeah. I feel like we were going for a walk or something, and you said that.
I remember that too. So we went to ShopRite to go get lunch on our lunch break and then walked back to Jose Bang.
Yep.
Yeah. Where you were my manager. And I was like, this is great. My best friend's my manager.
We just ran that store.
We were also the only girls. Because I think Victoria had left.
She had already gone.
So,
yeah.
Yeah.
That was an experience.
That was an experience.
Yeah. But again, we did it together. But we were in the same environment, but two different levels. Like you said, I was your manager. I'd been there for years prior to you coming.
Years, yeah.
And then we were just there doing our thing together.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but your relationship with your husband has always been definitely on a pedestal to me.
I love that. Just because in the beginning, like when you were saying that I've always had my life together and all of this, I
know you don't feel that.
I don't feel that way, but I enjoy that that's the perception I give out because it's important. I mean, everyone's life, we have stuff. You know, we
all of us.
But we all manage it differently. But I like to know that I give out that perception that, yeah, she's got it together. She's doing her thing.
You do. Even me, like as your best friend. Obviously, I know, and we talk a lot more now, like you said. But yeah. I know that you struggle with some things. But the way you struggle is so different than the way I struggle.
That's what makes our friendship, though.
Oh, totally.
Because we know how the other person struggles, and then we're a good like yin and yang. Like we can figure that out with each other.
Yes. Like, you are very rational about things.
Sometimes too rational.
And I'm very emotional about things.
But see, then you need to be a little bit more rational, and I need to be a little bit more emotional, connected to that side of my mind. So that's how we
get it.
We get it.
Yeah, we get it. But yeah, so anyway, so your relationship has always been something I've looked up to because how long were you guys together when I moved in with you?
Oh my gosh. So we moved very quickly in our relationship. We bought that apartment, rented that apartment.
Like 11 months or something.
Yeah. It was either like just before a 1 year mark or like right after, like literally like a day after, or like a week before. Mm-hmm. And that was the first time I had moved out of my house. That's the first time he had moved out of his house.
Really?
And you had moved out.
Oh,
you
so went away many times.
So yeah. And then we were there for, I think only like 2 years, maybe.
Mm-hmm. It was a cute little apartment.
It was, yeah. But we were like a little family when you were there.
I know we were. I had my dog.
Yeah.
You guys had no. You guys didn't have your dogs yet. Mm-mm. I think you got them right after I moved.
Yeah.
Out. Yeah. But yeah, I had my dog.
And we would like rotate making dinner.
Yeah. Let's do that again.
Let's buy a compound.
Literally, when you bought your new house and you guys were showing us upstairs, I was like, Doug, this is where we're going to move. we're just going to, have a family compound made up of auntie and uncle and baby Evie. Yeah.
Yeah. And we can rotate babysitting children.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. When you guys have your children, it'll be like a little like wolf pack.
Yes.
Yeah. So sorry, husbands, it's done deal.
You don't have any say.
They already know.
Yeah.
But so you guys always, like, you yourself always set a perfect example for me. And then Mike entered the picture. And I usually, when your best friend starts dating someone, you're like, okay.
Yeah, you get a little slighted sometimes.
Yeah.
Because the attention is different, like different priorities and all of that.
Wasn't like that at all.
Mm-mm.
Literally, like,
that type of person.
I was like, Mike, you're also my best friend now.
Yeah.
I remember it wasn't great circumstances why I moved in.
Sure.
But I remember the day that I moved in, I also was driving to DC that day to go see a friend. And I walk into your apartment to drop all my stuff off, and Mike's there, and he's holding out his arms, and he's like, do you need a hug?
So I remember taking another step back when you had called us to say what was going on with you, and you were like, this is my situation. It was early in the morning, and Mike and I were sleeping, and I said, Kaylee's calling. I don't know why she's calling me. He goes, pick it up. And I said, okay. So I picked it up, and then you explained, I think I put it on speakerphone or something, you explained to us what was going on, and Mike was like, absolutely, if you need to come here, you can. Mm-hmm. Like, he said it before even I did. Like, I wasn't going to say no, but, right. like, he said it before I did. And I was like, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, that's and just who he is.
So much guts, too, for me to even call you guys to do that. Because I'm not that type of person. Right. Like, I always figure it out myself. But I had nowhere to go. And knowing that I had you guys. Mm-hmm. But that's just our relationship again.
It is.
That's just us, where it's like we're both very independent women, where it's like, no, I'm going to figure this out on my own first. And then when I don't have anywhere to go, I know I have you.
Right. And it's judgment free. You know, we don't ask questions necessarily. It's just, you need this, you got this.
But we also call each other out on our shit.
Yes.
Which
is important.
It's all important.
Because you need to get checked every now and again.
It's like,
just life, you know?
Yeah. And the way that we call each other out too, like my husband, I love him to pieces. He has not mastered the art yet of calling me out.
And normally when our husbands do, it's, you get defensive because you're like, well, what are you doing?
Totally.
Like, why are you, right. But when, I mean, we've known each other longer than our husbands. So we know how the other person's going to react. We know how to just navigate the situations and the conversations.
And we know how each other thinks. So it's almost, no. Don't think like that.
Right.
Don't go there.
Sometimes I think we've even let the other person, I don't know, have an example, but if you or I said something like, I'm going to go skydiving tomorrow, because that's what I really want to do. We let the other person
figure it out.
Even though we know we want to say something like, that's probably not the best idea. Mm-hmm. Let's take a second. Let's pause. Let's think about it.
Yeah, yeah.
But we let the other person do that. And then we're open for when we need to come and talk about why that was a bad idea.
Yeah.
Like, we just let us experience life. And then we come back.
Yeah.
And we can talk about it.
Because we both know that we're stubborn and shit.
Oh my gosh. But in a good way.
But in the best way.
Yeah.
But in the,
like, and that's why we're both independent, successful women, because we stand up for what we want. We don't take anything less. And we've learned from some not so good experiences, but that's life. And that's what made us so stubborn.
Yes, exactly. So speaking of being successful women, tell everybody what it is that you do.
So I am a licensed professional counselor in the state of Connecticut. Right now, I provide in-home services, psychiatric services for children and families. So it's supposed to be a step-down program, either from like juvenile detention or an inpatient facility. And it's a six-month program where we stabilize them in the home. And it's very intense. It's regular like outpatient therapy, but two times in a home. So, and I've worked in group homes. I've worked in residential settings. I've done private practice. So there's a lot there.
What do you love most about your job?
I like the aha moments. And I've had clients, my older clients, because I work with ages 5 to 18. I've had older clients say, you know what? You were really a pain in the ass, but that's what I needed.
Yeah.
Like, I needed that person to call me out on my stuff and check me, but also have that unconditional love and respect and kind of supported them throughout the process.
Right.
I really like those moments when I can see someone have that self-reflection and that insight. And it's, I know it's because I've helped them in some way.
Right.
Yeah.
What is there an area within what you do that you want to go into or learn more about? I know that there's so much, like you teach me so much every single time we get together. You're like, there's this cool thing with, are they EEG?
Oh, EEGs, neurofeedback.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was like, there's a what? You're like, yeah, we hook them up to this machine.
Look at your brain waves, train your brain.
I find that so fascinating. So I'm sure other people will too. So what are some things that you can do under the umbrella of what it is that you do?
So my degree is not as recognized as like a clinical social worker or a licensed marriage and family therapist. It's kind of, it's not up and coming. It's been around for a while, but we don't get as much respect as a social worker or a family therapist.
Really?
Yeah. So if you look for job postings or say social worker or marriage and family therapist, they don't really have LPC, which is a licensed professional counselor.
Interesting.
So my degree takes a more clinical route. So I have a master's in clinical mental health counseling, whereas a social worker has some clinical background, but they focus more on the case management and the community resources. And I was trained just in clinical work. I mean, obviously the other stuff encompasses it, but I can do the same job as any other.
Sure.
I can be a guidance counselor. I could be a school social worker. No hate on the social workers. I don't like being called a social worker. but
it's just very different, right? It's just a very different breed of people that take,
Like what really I'm super passionate about is finding the right diagnosis for people, the clinical mental health diagnosis. Only because it's so easy to wrongly diagnose someone.
Yep.
And then that follows you. And then it creates sometimes a stigma, or it creates this skewed perception of self. And the person who's been wrongfully diagnosed is like, well, I must be X, Y, and Z because that's what my therapist told me. And my therapist is right. So now you start looking things up and then you start attaching to these symptoms. Mm-hmm. And you're like, well, no, that's me. And then I'm the type of person that when I have that client, I'm like, let's fully explore this. Let's see what's actually going on. I'm extremely passionate about how the mind, body, soul is all connected.
Yeah. So holistic.
Yes. So I focus a lot on somatic symptoms and how your body is telling you what's wrong. Mm-hmm. So that goes with the neurofeedback, that goes with EMDR, which I'm also certified in. And it's just super important, and it helps you, helps the client understand themselves better.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this is not something that I talk about a whole lot because my platform is for small businesses, but mental health is such a huge part of, I feel like, both of our lives.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And I was continually misdiagnosed. And every time I was misdiagnosed, I went straight to you. And I was like, do you think this is right? Do you think, like, and for, what was it, like 4 years? I was under this one diagnosis and you and I, like, you kept sending me tests to take online and you're like, we'll see what you get. And I'm like, I keep getting lower scores than it says that I'm supposed to be getting. And then like every like 1 out of 10, I'd get a higher score. So I'm like, I don't know, maybe.
Right.
And then fast forward to a couple years ago, it just was PTSD.
Yep.
And it's so, so crazy. There was a joke that you made at your bridal shower.
Oh my gosh.
Which what they were asking you, like, what's Elise's favorite book? Oh. And you said the clinical book with all the diagnoses.
The DSM.
Yes.
Yeah. It's true though. Like that is my Bible. And that's not even, obviously it's based upon my clinical training, but even before that, I've just always been so interested in people and what's underneath everything. Mm-hmm. And helping people find their true path.
Yeah. What's the thing you find most challenging about your job?
That's a great question. There's a lot of challenges. Mm-hmm. I would say is helping someone get to the point of understanding, because I'm going to speak for myself as a therapist, but all therapists know this, that we're basically just regurgitating what you tell us back to you. So we repeat your own words, and it comes to a point where you understand, oh wait, this is how I'm actually feeling, because therapy is all self-work. Mm-hmm. You have to do it all on your own.
Yeah.
And it can be really difficult with some diagnoses.
Oh yeah.
To get people to that level of understanding. It's very complex sometimes with trauma. Mm-hmm. So I think that's frustrating and difficult, but it's also rewarding when you get to that point and help that client get to there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's not what I thought you were going to say, but that makes sense. I thought you were going to say something along the lines of, because you're empathetic, you are empathetic. Mm-hmm. So because you're empathetic, sometimes it's hard to take yourself out of
to carry
some
it with
cases.
Me.
Yeah.
I've developed this, I don't want to say callousness, but.
No, but like a wall.
Yeah, a thicker boundary. Skin. Boundaries. Yeah. Boundaries are super important to me because I've seen where they've gone awry, where even some of my colleagues have these wishy-washy boundaries with clients, and then it's just not productive for either side.
Yeah.
And it's more productive if the client and the therapist know that there's that boundary there and it's respected by both parties. Mm-hmm. That's where the work can really be done.
Yeah. And as a clinical worker, would you recommend therapy? I'm assuming yes.
100,000%.
Yeah.
Even the most quote unquote normal, sane person, we've all got shit to talk about.
Yeah.
You know, whether or not it's your fifth birthday party and Susie didn't come and now you don't ever have birthday parties and you wonder why.
Yeah.
Like there's always something. It doesn't have to be complex trauma. It doesn't have to be abandonment issues or attachment issues. It can be literally anything. Mm-hmm. But it's good to have that third party, that neutral party to just chat about life with.
Yeah.
Because like we've always done that for each other, mm-hmm. but even though we try not to be biased and try not to put our own opinions on things, it's going to happen.
Sure.
So you always need the other person.
You need a third party for sure.
Absolutely.
A neutral party.
And it's so accessible nowadays. I mean, insurance has really improved on the coverage for therapists.
And there's so many apps now too.
Oh, yeah.
That you can do. What are some things that you would recommend to people if they're apprehensive or nervous to start therapy?
I would say try it out. You know, you have to go through a couple to find the right fit.
That's so true.
And really do your research. Psychology Today is a great resource to find therapists, local therapists, and they have blurbs and stuff about them. But if you can, try to do word of mouth, because that's how you really get to know the people in your area. And if it doesn't, try it for like one or two sessions. If it doesn't fit, then go to the next one.
Yeah.
Don't settle for a therapist because you think, well, this is all I'm going to get. So, because it can be detrimental.
Hi, everyone. So thank you for listening to this episode. We're not quite done yet. I just wanted to take a really quick break and bring to your attention that for the whole month of August, Kaylee Elwell Designs is going to be partnering up with the nonprofit United We Own. Jenny and Matt are dear, dear friends of mine. They started this nonprofit a couple years ago. What they do is absolutely amazing. I will put their link to donate in the show notes of this episode. Stay tuned for all the ways that Jenny, Matt, and I are going to be collaborating, and please, please, please donate to their amazing cause. Again, they're called United We Own, and just click the link at the bottom. Thanks.
How old were you when you kind of started to figure out this? I'm Aliza, like this is who I am. Because when I think of you, okay, so wait, when I think of Aliza,
I can't wait to hear this. Yeah,
I think of concert going, really down to earth and grounded, dog mama, up for anything, super easygoing, just lovable Aliza. And you're also one of
my... If I wasn't married, you could ride my eHarmony.
Okay. But also, obviously, we're 90s babies.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Represent.
Yeah. We're both so hardcore, like tie-dye everything. By the way, did you make your shirt?
I did.
Yeah.
This was my quarantine tie-dye.
Yeah.
Which, for the record, I liked tie-dye before COVID and quarantine.
I know. Before it became a fad again.
Before it was a thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah. We were always into tie-dye.
Always.
Spice Girls.
Yes.
I feel like you and I are just 90s.
Who's your Spice Girl?
Always. Okay, so when I was little, I was probably Posh.
All right.
But now I feel like I really like Ginger just because she went off and did her own thing.
She did. Jerry. Go Jerry.
And her name's Jerry.
Right.
Which I like a lot, so.
I'm Scary Spice all the way.
I could say
that. Even when it was like a thing, my mom would take, I've always had super long hair, and she took my hair.
She did the cones?
Yes. I had two little knobs on top of my head, and I had zebra scrunchies, velour scrunchies. I'd put on these two little things in my head.
That's awesome. Talking about your mom, the reason that I thought of the Spice Girls was because the other day when we went on one of our walks, your mom's like, I found these Spice Girl boxes. Do you want them?
Like, Mom, what am I going to do with those? Yes.
Collectible items.
That's our life.
Do you remember the bubble gum? They had Spice Girl Bazooka bubble gum.
Yes.
And you unwrapped it and you got, I always got Scary Spice in the bubble gum. I'm like, I swear to God, they rigged the shit because I believed it. And I wanted, for Christmas last year, I found this sweatshirt that was a really cool illustration of all of them.
Oh.
But never came. One of those scams, I think.
Yeah, like Wish.
Yeah. But anyway, so yes. When did you figure out, like, this is what makes me, and what are some of those things?
So I can think of two pivotal moments in my life. One is seventh grade. For some reason, seventh grade was, like, my ultimate year. I always talk to my younger clients about it. I talk to my nieces about it. My go-to outfit in seventh grade was I had a plaid skirt that was almost like a kilt, but it was shorter, of course. and it had black buckles on the side. I had these black combat boots and a red shirt that said rock on it with like studded things and snaps on the side.
Oh my God. And that was
that was me in seventh grade, and I was so comfortable in that.
That's awesome.
And it's really hard to put myself into one category because I think I'm just all over the place. Like right now I'm wearing a tie-dye tank top and ripped jeans, but yet tomorrow I could wear a suit and be completely comfortable. Like I'm.
Yeah. This is your uniform to me. Like whenever we hang out, it's just tie-dye and ripped jeans.
Yeah. And I always wear my checkered Vans. Like that's just who I am. I've been trying to locate that again. I feel like I lost it a little bit, like the concert goer, like adventure.
Well, COVID kind of put a stop to a lot of those
things.
It
did.
Do you feel like that was influenced by your brothers, though?
I do. Going back to my one brother with the mohawk, he's always been in bands.
Yeah.
And I always felt like I was his little groupie. Like, I would go to all of his shows with my mom.
Yeah.
And we're 4 years apart, so we were somewhat close. And I would, like, help him. He's a drummer, so I'd help him bring his drums in and out of the venues. I'd hang out with all the dudes. Like, I thought I was, like, this little rock star. So then, so seventh grade, I was super comfortable in my skin. And then in high school, high school is a weird time for everyone.
It was, yeah. You just kind of float. You and I were, like, floaters, I feel like.
Especially the high school we went to.
Yeah, we were friendly with everybody. Like, right. We weren't friends with everyone, but we were friendly with everybody. But also, we could probably sit at any table we wanted and be able to have a conversation.
Yes. Yeah.
But then get up and roll our eyes and walk away.
Exactly.
We're just like, cool.
So then it was probably my early 20s. Full disclosure, everyone does it. I did a lot of partying in my early 20s. That was then. But I had fun. I felt like that's who I was. And then I went to Israel when I was 22.
Yeah.
With the Birthright program, and it was just, I think that is where I really became independent and comfortable in my skin, because I didn't know anyone. I was by myself with this group of people, all within a certain age bracket, 18 to 25, I think. I was one of the younger ones, or 18 to 30, maybe. And I still had the piece of me where I was like, let's go to a concert, I wear fake nose rings, like some chicken to really get it done, one day I will, and do all these crazy things, but then I'm able to really ground myself in nature and spirituality and just be there. That's just...
Yeah, that's true. I totally missed that part. You are... Well, I said down to earth, but you're, again, soulmate. We talk so much about, do you think this is real? What do you feel about this? Like, how do you think about this part? Yeah, that's totally... I also feel like you shifted hardcore when you came back from it. How do you not?
Right.
How do you not shift when you
came back? And then 2 months later, I met Mike.
Yeah.
After I came back from Israel.
Really? It was only two.
So I came back in July-ish.
And then we went to Philadelphia in August.
Yep. And then Mike and our first date was September 11th.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow. That's crazy for a cop.
Yeah.
That was your first date.
Yeah.
Okay, so then, yeah, that totally makes sense. Did you get to see the Wailing Wall?
I did.
Did you put anything in the Wailing Wall?
I don't believe so.
Oh, okay.
Because at that point, I wasn't fully comfortable with who I was. Mm-hmm. I was on the journey to get there.
You partied a lot, I feel like, in Israel.
I did. I think anyone who's listening has been on Birthright, gone to Israel, it's what you do.
Yeah.
You see the beautiful side of the country. You see the religious sides and the spiritual
culture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then there's a lot of partying because Israelis like to party.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I really want to go. Okay. One of my favorite stories ever, and this is how I became an honorary Jew.
I can't wait. Oh, yes.
So you were telling me, you're like, yes, I'm going to Birthright. I was like, Aliza, I know that you are Jewish, and I know that you like went, you go to synagogue like sometimes, but how did you get to go to Birthright? And you're like, dude, you fill out this paperwork, and then they ask you what kind of Jewish you are. I'm like, there's multiple kinds?
There is.
And then you enlightened me on all the different kinds of Jewish. And I'm like, well, what did you select? And you're like, just Jewish.
I was amazed that was actually a selection. But once I went, it made sense. Because we had all the way from ultra-Orthodox, modern Orthodox, which are the super conservative Jewish people. Conservative, which I would probably identify, my mom would probably say I'm conservative. Mm-hmm. Meaning, you know, I grew up always going to synagogue. I was a part of the community. I didn't have a bat mitzvah, but that's because I was running services when I was like 10, so I didn't feel like I needed one. I didn't even want the party, which is strange. But then there was the option for just Jewish, and I was like, yeah, I don't really identify as anything. I'm not super religious. I was like, I'm just Jewish, you know?
And when I lived with you, we went to Target one day. You're like, we need other things. So we went to Target and we found these little bowls for a dollar with the Star of David on them.
I still have them. I use them.
I know, I saw them the other day. And I was like, this is so funny. You shifted in that you connected with it and you felt like, yep, this is who I am.
Yep.
If you could go back to Israel, what's one thing that you would instantly show Mike? Or instantly go back and do?
Hiking Masada. So I'm probably not going to describe it right, but it's the site of a bunch of temple ruins. And the best way to go is you start hiking it at like 3 a.m. It's a bunch of stairs. There's also a gondola that you can take that goes up the mountain. But it takes a couple hours. And then by the time you get up to the top, you're there for sunrise. Mm. And it is the most beautiful, just peaceful thing ever.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
This is not at all the same, but have you ever gone to Acadia?
Love Acadia. Oh my gosh. Mike and I went there early in our relationship. Yeah. And it was probably when I was beginning my really good hiking adventures. And I was not prepared. Mike and I were both wearing sneakers and we didn't have any backpacks. And all of these like through hikers were going past us like with packs and boots. And I was like, they were underprepared. And then I got to the top and it was so beautiful, but it was also very hot. And I was like, can I just have a helicopter come pick me up?
Yeah. I'll take it now.
Yeah, I'm over it.
But, yeah.
I like mountains, so beautiful.
It is so beautiful. It's definitely worth going if no one's gone yet. But I'm pretty sure it's also, isn't that one of the first places, if not the first place, that the sun comes up in the U.S.?
Makes sense because it's up there.
I feel like that's true. Yeah. And when you get up to the top, you can see all the different little islands and stuff. Yeah. It's just, we'll talk about my obsession with Maine in another episode. But
it's a healthy obsession.
It is a healthy obsession.
Yeah.
But yeah, you guys are really big hikers. Talk about what you've been checking off.
Yes. So at work right now, I work with a partner, Sarah.
Shout out.
And she's always been a huge hiker. We've been working together for about 2 years now. And I was like a recreational hiker, like, yeah, okay, we'll go to local places, but I never really ventured out.
Yeah.
Sarah has this huge list and she writes everything down. She watches blogs and stuff about hiking. So we kind of influenced each other and we started doing the Appalachian Trail. Mm-hmm. Now we're only doing Connecticut right now, but we're more than halfway done. We have three more. So we break down in sections.
Yeah.
So each section is about 10 miles. So we have three more sections to do.
And how many sections total have you done?
It is eight sections in total.
Eight sections.
So we've done five.
Oh my God. So wait, there's 10 miles in a section? Is that what you said?
So the last three sections are 10 miles. So in total, it's 51.6 miles. We've done...
So you've done almost 50 miles? No.
We've done almost 30 miles.
30 right miles.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
We've done like 28 miles.
How long does it take you? What's the longest you've hiked together? I know didn't you get lost one
so
time?
Yeah, so when Sarah and I are by ourselves, probably 5 hours. We like to do this thing where we bring guests now on our hikes, so that one probably took like 8 hours because our guest wasn't really prepared for the hike. We didn't explain it well to her enough. But I love the woods, like,
yeah.
One thing I do with my clients if they need to be grounded is they take off your shoes and let's go walk.
Yeah.
That I work in is right now, it's very farmy. I mean, it's Connecticut.
Yeah.
So there's farms everywhere, there's meadows. So I would take my client there and I say, take off your shoes and let's go walk in the grass or like walk in the water. Because I think we're so connected to nature in so many different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And to get back to that, I think is so important.
It is important.
Mm-hmm.
And your overall goal for yourself is to open your own practice.
Right. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Private practice.
Private practice. Mm-hmm.
And we've been brainstorming a lot for when the time is ready.
Yes.
The time comes. And I was joking with you that you should call it Naughty by Nature. But
I mean, it's fitting.
It is fitting.
If you know me, it's fitting.
which we need to talk about your wedding. Because I don't know why that song reminded me of your wedding.
We had some dope songs at my wedding.
We did. So you have three brothers.
Yes.
And you did a song with each of them. It wasn't a whole song.
Yeah.
But they each picked a song?
Yes.
And
no, so I picked the song for them, and it was a surprise for them.
Oh, okay, okay.
So it was a song that reminded me of them in our relationship.
Aww. What were the songs?
So my youngest older brother, who you had the crush on, we did Pretty Fly for a White Guy by The Offspring.
Yep.
My middle brother, we did Danger Zone because he's obsessed with Tom Cruise. And then what did we do? So Crispy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
So Crispy,
yeah, yeah.
My older brother. because every time that song would come on, he would just call me. That song and is it Chingy? I have a very interesting relationship with each of my brothers.
You do. You do. And I like that when they got up to do their speech.
You mean the roast? They roasted me?
I mean, if I was the younger sister, that's totally how I would have taken it too.
Yeah.
But knowing them the way that I know them, I don't know your middle brother too well, but you're obviously the one I had a crush on, your youngest oldest brother, and then your oldest brother.
Yeah.
I know them pretty well.
Yeah.
And your oldest brother always knows. Like, he's like, oh, Kaylee's here.
Uh-huh.
And then he was so funny. He was like, I didn't know you had a kid. When did you have a kid? I was like, yeah, I got married and everything. He was like, that's so cool.
Yeah, he's so funny.
He's really funny. But they got up and I can totally tell how it felt for you.
Mm-hmm.
But knowing them, it was just them being them and them being older brothers. And it almost felt to me like you guys were all kids again.
Yeah. We definitely, my mom always says that when the four of us get together, we just have this bond. We have this connection.
Cool.
We don't talk often. I mean, we all live somewhat locally with each other, but they have kids. We all have lives.
Yeah.
But when we get together, it's just this immediate.
So cool. Yeah.
Attachment that we have.
Mm-hmm. It's almost electric to be around. It's just something. I mean, I've been around a lot of people in life, and I've seen them with their families, and it's just not the same. Like when the four of you are together, so it's special.
And it's beautiful because they each have a really special relationship with my husband now too.
They do.
And they've really taken him in, which is really nice.
Mm-hmm.
He is definitely more of a family oriented person than I am. So he really appreciates that he's just been.
It was important to him for sure.
Scooped up by
them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so let's do the lightning round.
Okay.
Okay, so lightning round. Usually I do behind the brand.
Okay.
But we'll do behind the bestie for today.
Can I just talk about you for a little minute?
Sure.
So you were saying how you always think that I am this put together, always logical, rational kind of person. But you have always known your direction. And everything is correlated, though. You know, your first step to now, they've been building blocks. And I think for me, it's been so beautiful to see you flourish in that way.
Thank you.
Everything is connected.
Thank you.
And you may not think that what you did at 23 is connected to what you're doing now, but it totally is.
It is. I mean, I feel like my business has always been floating around me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just way too caught up in my own personal stuff to see the forest through the trees. But it's definitely, you're right. It's definitely.
And I think you've always been somewhat of a brand. So I think now that you have this brand and this, your own company, I think it's just always meant to be because you've always put out this vibe of like always very genuine and authentic. It's just,
thank you.
This is who I am. Like if you know Kaylee because of X, Y, and Z, you know, she loves Maine.
Mm-hmm.
She's very granola. And that's just who you are.
We never talked about our obsession with
granola. And it's not the food.
It's the culture.
It's a way of life.
Yeah.
It's a lifestyle.
It's a lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
I am so proud of us that we have landed granola.
We have. Yeah.
We have landed granola.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, yeah, God. The minute I saw my husband like wear construction boots, I was like, okay.
Right. Score. Check your mind.
And then I saw your husband in construction boots the other day, and I was like, check yourself. What is happening right now? What is happening?
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel like, thank you so much for saying all that, because you also know the other side of things where I've lived a very long time in just like, okay, so this is rock bottom then. This is just everything crumbling and falling apart, and I'm going to have to just pick up the pieces and try again.
But you always do. You're so resilient that way.
Thank you.
You always create something new for yourself. So it's, you have like a plate that shatters. You create something else from that, those shattered pieces, and then that shatters, and then you create something else from that, and it's
thank you.
A constant evolving.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I'm so happy that you've been able to see that.
Yeah.
And that you've been there to help me put the pieces back together.
We all need the help.
Yes, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yep.
Okay.
Here we go.
Ready?
Yes.
Okay. So front stage or backstage?
Ooh. This is tough. I would say backstage.
Okay. Behind the apron or behind the plate? So would you rather cook the food or
behind
eat
the apron completely. Yeah. It brings me such joy to cook and feed people. Sometimes I'll do it and I won't even eat my own food because it's not for me. I just want to bring happiness to others.
That's why I love you. And she also eats my food when I cook. So
yeah,
that's why
and
I
you got me aprons. I just hung up in my pantry.
Going out or staying in? Because now you just have a beautiful new house.
Yeah.
So it's hard, I feel like.
It is hard. I would say a healthy dose of both, because I wouldn't say I'm an extrovert or an introvert, but I enjoy going out. My husband gets so frustrated because he goes, "Where do you want to go out? We have like a planned date night." And I say, "I just want to vibe. Like, I just
want to vibe."
And he's like, "What? Like, what does that even mean?" But I enjoy people watching, obviously, because it's what I do. I deal with people. But then I also enjoy like a home cooked meal, hanging outside with the dogs, mm-hmm. and just
finding something cool on Netflix to watch.
Yeah.
Long walk or long talk?
Both.
I know.
Because what we're known for is walking and talking.
Yeah.
We know that we both can just text or call each other and be like, "I need to go for a walk right now." Mm-hmm. And that really means we got shit to talk about. So let's get sweaty and let's talk it out.
I need to work this out, but out loud with you.
Yep.
What is the last product you purchased under $100 that you recommend everybody get?
Whoa.
I was going to do $5, but I feel like you just bought a house, so I don't think you bought a lot of things under $5.
So let's see. I've been very blessed that you've gifted me with a lot of products. Because of your previous profession. Last products. All right. I'm going to sound like a snob, but I'm really trying to get more into like the makeup game. I'm not very girly in that aspect, but now that we're getting older, I feel like I need to look a little bit more older because we both look very young for our age. Color. It's going to come in handy when we're 40.
I know.
So I got a NARS concealer.
Ooh.
And it was, might have been like almost $30, but had really good reviews. And I was like, this might fix my face.
Yeah.
So I got that.
I want to start getting into the Bare Minerals stuff, but I've heard some iffy things about them.
Yeah.
I just want, you know me, manic organic. I just want.
I know. Yeah, actually, yeah, I don't know what NARS does in that regard, but I heard it was good. I just need to know how to put it on my face.
Slather it on, girl.
Yeah.
Get all in there. Yeah. Can you make a video of you just like
slathering it on my face?
Okay. Is there a favorite memory of us that we haven't talked about yet?
So many come to mind.
I totally forgot too while you were talking. You were talking about like your fake nose ring. I forgot that we got our second.
We did. That both of us never really wear.
No. I never wear earrings anymore.
I know. Yeah, we did. That was a random spur of the moment thing at the mall. We were let's get it done. Let's see. A memory that we haven't chatted about. We chatted a little bit about our trips to Pennsylvania, primarily Philly. I remember we were younger. We were doing our thing. We were now in Philly because you were showing me the town because it was your city. And
that's where I went to school.
Yep. And we were following, I wouldn't say chasing, following someone that was wearing a horse mask. There is probably looking back like a bachelor party or something because it was just a gaggle of them. And one of them was wearing a horse mask and we just followed them everywhere.
Because you were like, that's from the Chive.
Yes, the Chive. Yes.
We did, but yeah, we did do that. And I also remember when we would go to Shamrock.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime you and I have ever been like, F it, let's go dancing, or let's just go, I've felt the most free. Mm-hmm. Like, I've always felt, this is my person, we're doing our thing, the music is blasting, life is good. Yeah.
I can't even imagine going to like a club now.
Because we're older, because of COVID.
Both. Older.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think concerts are going to look like?
I'm really sad because I don't think it's going to be what
a while. Yeah.
It used to be. I mean, I would like to say I'm a pit girl, but I've never actually been in a pit. My husband has, but I stand on the outskirts. I like to be.
Yeah, honey.
Go get him. That's what I like to do. I just lose my mind. I get crazy because music is
freeing.
It runs through my blood. I love it. It's going to be really disappointing when concerts come back and it's not going to be what it is.
So let's say though that 5 years from now.
Yeah.
Concerts are back. They're back to normal. Everything's good. We don't need to wear masks or anything.
Right.
Who's going to be the first person you're going to want to see?
Ooh. So for some reason, Bon Jovi popped in my head.
What?
I don't know. I've seen them twice already.
What was the last concert you went to?
The last concert I went to, wow.
Besides your brother.
Yeah. The only one that's coming to mind is Dropkick Murphys on St. Patty's Day.
Oh, that sounds great.
Yeah. It was a very strange weekend. So the night before, so this was on Saturday. Friday night, I saw Demi Lovato, DJ Khaled, and someone else. And then the next day, we drove to Boston and saw Dropkick Murphys. That's what my music selection is like.
Yeah. But that's fine. That's how I am, too. And I remember when I lived with you, too, you guys have this awesome stereo radio record player. Mm-hmm. And we were always playing reggae 1 minute, yep. Alternative 90s always. The next minute.
I was actually supposed to see Dashboard Confessional in April.
Oh, yeah.
It's not like a reunion tour where they're doing their first album again, but they got canceled.
Yeah. So my last question, because I would do this all day with you, but we've got shit to do because it's my birthday.
We're 29 years
old. Yes, we are. Okay, so you know what this question is.
I do.
But for those of you who are new, I ask this question every single episode. So, Aliza, if you could leave the world with only a one-word impression of you, what would that word be?
So it's funny because we actually brought it up somewhere in our conversation. Stubborn.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
So good and bad because I feel like I'm very stubborn that I won't settle. So if I don't think what I'm doing is the right fit or I'm not being utilized effectively or my skills aren't being – I'm not my true self, I'll move. I won't settle for anything less. So stubborn, but in a good way.
I can – yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, obviously your word for me is soulmate, but that's just –
that's just who we are.
Or vibe. No, I change. Like, you are my soulmate, but vibe.
Vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's always just like, yeah, this is our vibe. We're going to go with the flow. Right. We're going to do
I would say we're chameleons, but in the most authentic and genuine way. Like, we don't try to pretend. So you and I have had jobs where we've had to dress very professional. But
yes.
We don't pretend like we turn into someone else. Like, we're still ourselves.
Yeah.
Whatever skin we put on.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you for having me on your birthday.
Maybe I'll have to have you come on again, like, as a co-host. That'd be so fun.
We would tear it up.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for listening. If you're interested in learning more about today's guest, please check the show notes below for all the links. If you are or know someone who would be a great fit for the podcast and is a local small business owner with a story to tell, please visit www.kayleyllldesigns.com/whatyousaidpodcast. Until next time.